Well, at first blush, the word brownfield sounds almost kind of nice, like a farmer's field just before planting. But in fact, brownfield refers to abandoned commercial or industrial property where contamination, whether real or perceived, is preventing the property from being sold and used for another purpose. Think of that building down the block that once housed a dry cleaning business, or the closed gas station where there may be leaking underground tanks. With pressure on real estate prices causing significant pain in our region, redeveloping brownfields could provide a new source of buildable land for things like affordable housing developments, parks, and the types of businesses that don't leave brownfields behind. A $600,000 grant from the EPA is going to allow a group of municipal governments in Southern Oregon to take an inventory of brownfields, the first step in using those lands again. That grant went to the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, which we'll probably be referring to in the rest of the half hour as RVCOG, in partnership with the cities of Grants Pass, Medford, Central Point, as well as Jackson County, which is especially interested in areas in the unincorporated community of White City. RVCOG's Greg Stabach, and he had a big hand in landing the grant. He joins us in the studio this morning. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning.
And also with us is Tom Humphrey, who is Community Development Director for the City of Central Point. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Thanks, both of you, for being with us. So, Greg, this is a sizable grant, so it must be a pretty sizable problem. Do you have any initial estimates of how much land we're looking at?
We're still in the process of completing the inventory for brownfields, and there are several hundred sites that were certainly on our radar, and then the inventory, we're refining that, and, you know, there's so many, and I mean, as if people can just think of where there's vacant buildings or old gas stations, mills, dry cleaners, dairies, things along those lines, I mean, it's a huge potential problem. There's lots of sites. And as you emphasized earlier in the definition, it's, you know, it's actual or perceived potential contamination. So, again, there's a lot out there. We suspect, based on our initial identification, that we'll cut the sites down quite a bit for actual follow-up.
Mm-hmm. So in the grant, it specifies phase one and phase two assessments. What does that actually mean?
So basically, as I mentioned, when we look at our inventory, we identify a ton of sites. I think right now we have, 75 or so on our radar. And, you know, clearly that's too many sites to actually go in and do our full assessment on. So the phase one inventory is basically selecting. Part of the process is going to be prioritization of the sites using an advisory committee. So it's going to be built of coalition members, which are the coalition is, well, RVCOG with the City of Central Point, City of Grants Pass, City of Medford, and then also Jackson County, partner organizations, and then I think it also will have some community representatives. So we're looking at prioritizing sites, and the first cut is phase one, like, okay, these 50 sites may have contamination, so we'll do some additional research, a little bit more of a survey grade, kind of a windshield survey, look at old, you know, property records, air photos, or photo records to see what may have been on the site. And then based on that, we'll kick a bunch of them into what they call phase two, which is, you know, these are sites of interest. We really think that there's contamination on the site. So we'll go ahead and do, you know, groundwater testing and soil testing and try to start getting a feel for what might be on the sites.
So in the phase one of the process, if you find a brownfield and you, through your assessment, say, well, it's not contaminated, you'll kind of leave that one alone for
correct.
A while?
Okay. Yeah, correct.
And move on to the ones that might need a little bit more love
right,
before
right.
we bring them back onto the
yes.
market. So the money looks like it's divided into two pots as well. There's one for hazardous substances and one for petroleum. How does
right.
that work?
So it's the hazardous substance really focuses on brownfield sites that are, you know, former sites like dry cleaners or mills, salvage yards. I mean, any property that might contain built with lots of asbestos or lead paint. So it's a specific contamination focused on those types of properties. You know, former fruit orchards, anything that might have pesticides, herbicides in the soil, so anything like that falls under the hazardous substance grant. And then there's also the realization with transportation development that there's lots of issues with petroleum sites. So we're looking at, you know, gas station, auto repair stop, storage facility sites that are likely to have, you know, leaking tanks and things along those lines. So it's really looking at two different categories.
So Tom Humphrey is also with us. He's the Community Development Director for the City of Central Point, which is one of the partners in this process. What is specifically is the City of Central Point's interest in being involved here?
Well, I think as Greg's already mentioned, John, we have property in the city that where we've had a former mill site. Primary example is on Old 99, and we actually had the property owner went in years ago and cleaned that up, and it's resulted now in affordable housing and new businesses. The Grange Co-op has come in on one site. We've had other retail businesses move in. And so from an economic development standpoint and a housing, affordable housing standpoint, we've looked forward to identifying the sites, cleaning them up, reusing them in the confines of the city limits.
So will the city step in at some point and maybe even purchase brownfields for city use?
Well, that's I don't.
It's probably not up to you, right?
Well, I mean, there's I wouldn't rule that out because the city has created its own urban renewal agency, and there are some properties that could be identified in the category of, we have Old Orchards, for instance, in one case that may have some herbicide issues, and so this would fall into that category. The city wouldn't necessarily purchase the property, but could use its urban renewal strength to pursue cleanup or investigation, both.
We're talking about brownfields this morning here on the Jefferson Exchange. Maybe you have a brownfield near you in the Rogue Valley that you're concerned about or want more information about. Tom Humphrey, the City of Central Point, and Greg Stabach from RVCOG are with us to talk about a new grant from the EPA to inventory and get on the road to cleaning up a lot of the brownfields in Southern Oregon. You can participate in the conversation by calling us at 800-838-3760 or shoot us an email during the live broadcast at jx@jeffnet.org. So, Greg, the grant stresses both inventory and assessment. It sounds like you've already done some of the inventory work. Can you walk us through the process of how you're going to be assessing these brownfields to figure out, you know, what specifically the contaminants are?
Sure. So some of the inventory work is already done. There's still a little bit ongoing. The Business Oregon provided us with the grant to begin the inventory work, and that was very instrumental in helping us get the EPA funds. And, you know, as part of the inventory and assessment, there are, again, we've asked for and received community input from the coalition partners. There's a couple of different databases that are available online. I think the Department of Environmental Quality has one, so sites that they've already identified and are existing. You know, there's some work that's already been done. So based on that, you know, there's a master list created. That's the inventory. And then in terms of the assessment, it's going to be kicked essentially to the advisory committee, the Brownfield Advisory Committee I mentioned before, to take a look at which of the sites are the most important, because we're looking at a couple of different focus areas for the project. So we're looking at kind of the Highway 99 corridor in Medford. We're looking at, as you mentioned, the White City area and, you know, essentially the industrial area to Central Point. And then we're also looking at an area in Grants Pass. So looking at, you know, making sure we have sites and are hitting all of those areas and then getting into the process you mentioned before. We'll do phase one in a selected number of sites. We'll identify, I think, 40 or so sites to do phase ones on. And then based on the results we get back from that, I think we'll do probably about half of those sites as phase two, and then based on the results of that, we'll kind of kick into the next round, which is site-specific reuse plans. So that's going to be done, we hope, for about four sites, and then that'll set the stage up for the next round, which will actually be cleanup. And then in our focus area, we're also looking at area-wide plans, which should help also leverage some funding, you know, statewide and then nationwide as well.
I want to get back to those reuse plans in just a moment, but you've been talking about getting some community involvement. So can somebody call you with a brownfield candidate? So, for example, if somebody living in a neighborhood in, say, Central Point, just, you know, theoretically, I'm not saying that I have any particular neighborhood in mind, but let's say residents might be concerned about an old gas station or an industrial site near their homes. Can they contact you and say, hey, come out and take a look at this?
Yeah. I mean, we have had people do that periodically. The local DEQ actually has a record of some old stations, sites that they've been following. And so oftentimes we can even refer inquiries to DEQ to get a little more specific and find out what's happened in the past and what's being done now to remediate.
So how do you interact with the landowners? And just to be clear, these are abandoned sites we're talking about. They're no longer in current use, or are you looking at some sites that might currently be used as like a junkyard or something?
I think
like
both,
that.
John. Both.
Yeah, correct.
Yeah, we have occasions where there are businesses, active businesses. They may have capped old tanks, or we've got sites that would normally have been vacant, old mill sites. I know of one in the Tolo area that's being used for storage, for instance. And so there's some activity on them. There are others that have no activity and are vacant. And so it's kind of a combination.
Mm-hmm. And so when you go to a site and you're talking with the landowner, I could see some landowners who might not want to have that stigma of having their property identified as contaminated. What if you encounter a landowner who just says, hey, stay away from me. I don't want to even talk to you guys.
Well, I mean, I'd certainly like to emphasize that, number one, the participation in the program is entirely voluntary. You know, there's no, you know, we're not going to be out knocking on doors. We're not going to be, I mean, if folks are willing, you know, there'll be a process to work with the landowner, talk to them, get a, you know, permission to access. Again, but it's a completely voluntary program. There's no requirement to participate.
Yeah, but by the same token, I've had landowners who are kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. They'd like to redevelop the site. They approach a lending institution who wants a clean bill of health on the property. They can't get it. And so if they could have some assistance to work toward that, then they can move forward. A lot of people are just stuck not being able to progress because of some contamination.
It's the Jefferson Exchange here on Jefferson Public Radio. We're talking about brownfields in the Rogue Valley, Southern Oregon, from Grants Pass all the way through Jackson County. And you can participate in the conversation this morning with Tom Humphrey from the City of Central Point and Greg Stabach from RVCOG. Our number is 800-838-3760 or email us at jx@jeffnet.org. So after the assessment is done, you have a pretty good feel for the inventory of brownfields. It seems like a cleanup is where all the heavy lifting is. And you mentioned that you already had four that had moved to that phase?
No, at the end of the project, we hope to have four ready to go for the next stage. And there is a program through EPA where you can provide for actually the cleanup funding for redeveloping a site. There's a few examples, I think, where it's already has been done, and we're hoping to get several sites ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And can you give some examples of maybe some sites around the region that have gone through this process already, with old brownfields that are now in new use?
Well, two examples that, you know, we can think of is in Grants Pass, they redeveloped, I think it's called Raptor Creek Farm, where they redeveloped a hop farm into a food bank and community garden. And then also the Lithia Commons downtown, where they basically did a cleanup and redevelopment and moved the headquarters downtown.
Yeah. And in Central Point, we had a mill site right in the center of a central business district on Highway 99. And the property owner, Chris Galpin, in this case, renovated that. You'd be surprised the things that he pulled out of that old mill site. I mean, old car bodies and you name it. I mean, it was phenomenal. But he went the extra mile and just cleaned that up. And now we have, as I've stated, new businesses there, as well as affordable housing and housing for the general public.
And I would imagine it just occurs to me in Central Point, you now have that that corridor on the north part of 99 where you have
the creamery
and the tasting rooms, and with the wine industry growing, that probably is a very, very exciting new development for Central Point.
It is. It is.
So you mentioned there might be cleanup funds down the road. I know that a lot of homeowners that I talk to sort of shake in their boots if they discover like an abandoned fuel oil tank that's been buried on their property from the days when their house might have had oil heat. And they're just, oh, I don't want the DEQ to get involved. So it can be crazy expensive. So property owners, it sounds like, will have a source of funds if they want to actually clean it up.
Correct. Yeah, the program's designed to basically provide that boost to get those properties cleaned up. I mean, the community-wide assessment really gives an idea of what the, you know, on the final projects, once you get to the redevelopment plan, of how much it's going to cost. So that allows you to do really two things. Is one is you can apply for the cleanup funds and get the property taken care of, or you may get a private development coming in who knows what the cost of cleanup is going to be and can kind of do the risk assessment, the cost and benefit, and say, okay, well, even if we have to go ahead and rehabilitate the site, we can put up, you know, apartment complex and end up, you know, making money anyway because we know what's there, we know what it's going to cost. So that definitely spurs some economic development.
So they're able to factor that in. This kind of leads me to my next question, because I read, I think it might have been your website or the EPA website, that properties that are around brownfields that get cleaned up then see an increase in their property values, and the EPA, I think, said anywhere from 5 to 15%. So do you have any kind of numbers for an average increase in property value for people that go through the brownfield process?
Gosh, I don't, John. I don't have anything specific. Just the, you know, visible results of the improvement. And it spawned other development around the immediate vicinity where maybe there wasn't any activity. Once something's cleaned up, you see new construction, and it kind of inspires surrounding landowners to invest in their own. So I can only imagine that there would be an increase in the assessed value of the property.
So, Tom, as you know, as a planning director, you might be able to comment on this. You know, we still need industrial areas. We still need mills, and you know, there are still a few mills around, but places that work on cars, places that you know, plating companies, or you know, places that are actually working with hazardous substances, mm-hmm. but they're still providing a lot of employment in the region. So as a planner, how are you sort of looking at, well, we've got these brownfields over here, but you know, we also need industry, and locating those areas, and is that all part of the comprehensive plan?
Well, it is, and some of the sites that I'm thinking about are, well, one was in the, you know, in the immediate area of the Central Business District, but some of the other ones that Craig and I will be looking at have to do with property that would come into the city in the future, probably in an urban reserve area or urban growth boundary. And so prepping those sites for future development allows us to encourage businesses that you mentioned, maybe not the plating company, but some
right.
of the other ones. So that's kind of the way I'm thinking about it. We have an area in Tolo that the county and other jurisdictions kind of gave us the jurisdiction over during a long regional planning process. And so that's what we have on our radar as far as future industrial site development. And then, you know, the technology has changed pretty dramatically over the past few years. And so we can actually site other light industrial facilities closer in without having a detrimental effect on surrounding retail or residential land.
I know there aren't a lot of politicians running for office. They're promising to bring in dirty industry to create jobs. Everybody wants to bring in a clean industry and clean jobs. So what's the timeline here? What are we looking at? You know, right now, real estate values in Southern Oregon are really are pretty high. And so I would assume that a lot of people have some incentive if they have a property that is abandoned and not being used. They have an incentive to say, I want to get this on the market quickly while I can take advantage of the high prices. But this sounds like it's maybe a multi-year process.
Correct. Yeah. The grant funding is set up over a 3-year timeline. So there'll be some projects or parts of the grant that'll be, you know, ongoing at the same amount of time, but it probably will be a few years before, you know, all the sites go through the process of, again, being identified and then follow up and, you know, going through that tiered process of the phase one, the phase two, to the, you know, the redevelopment plan. So potentially could take a couple of years. Again, it's going to be vary by, you know, being opportunistic or, you know, willing landowners, available sites. I mean, there's a lot of possibilities, but it probably will be a little, you know, take some time for sure.
Okay, and so how do you mentioned earlier public input? Are you going to be having meetings for the community, or how's that going to work?
There will be. There is a whole task that's involved to public involvement. There'll be more community meetings. We've already had a few, and then there will be community members on the advisory committee. And so there will be a process for that to be established. I mean, we're not it won't be 100 people, but certainly there'll be wide representation, plenty of opportunity to input. We can take questions or properties directly as well. I mean, so there'll be plenty of opportunity for input.
When's the first meeting?
Well, unfortunately, there'll probably be – we're anticipating contracting and funding being set up for probably September or October of this year. So mm-hmm. there's, you know, always paperwork and process involved before kicking off. So probably possibly November of this year. That's when we've been having our annual open houses, or that's when we've had the last few. So that's reasonable to assume.
And do you have any specific types of people you're looking for to get involved, people from the business community, just concerned citizens, anybody?
A little of both. I mean, we had a lot of businesses and organizations from different sectors that, you know, provided input and letters of support. So we're hoping to get some of them represented, you know, from different, you know, the health sector and the community and all across the board, and then also general community representation as well. So trying to get a good cross section of people.
All right. Thank you very much. We've been talking with Greg Stabach from the Rogue Valley Council of Governments, and also Tom Humphrey, who's Community Development Director of the City of Central Point. There's a new EPA grant that these organizations have gotten to assess and clean up brownfields and bring them back into productive use. Gentlemen, thank you for being with us on the Jefferson Exchange this morning.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you.